Channel 2 Auburn, continuation of Visit with Wade, this Sunday, the 24th of February, 7-4, the only copy. Channel 2 Auburn, a continuation of Visit with Wade, this Sunday afternoon, 24th of February, 7-4, the only copy. Channel 2 Auburn, a continuation of Visit with Wade, this Sunday afternoon, the 24th of February, 7-4, the only copy. Channel 2 Auburn, a continuation of Visit with Wade, this Sunday, the 24th of February, 7-4, the only copy. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of Visit with Wade this Sunday afternoon, 24th of February, 74, the only copy. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of Visit with Wade this Sunday afternoon, 24th of February, 74, the only copy. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of Visit with Wade this Sunday afternoon, the 24th of February, Sunday, the 24th of February, 74, the only copy.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you know some of the mentality things going on there.
No, I don't know that.
Bone Break got a one year extension. He didn't even ask for it. It was granted to him. He did not even make a request. Black simply stated, said, "I move that we give Mr. Bone Break a year's extension to get his affairs in order." Well, and then after that, Evelyn, came up with that bullshit that, wanted to make Bone Break damn sure that year was a year, not two, or a year and a month. It was a year. Well, I was right amused at that. And then next on the list was, I don't know his last name, his first name's Bill, the new manager of the thrift station. Well, 2 weeks before, he'd come in there and laid this application down, and the council looked at it, and then they started asking him questions. And he said, my company said that I could put the trailer there, and said, I'm not getting paid enough to pay rent on the trailer lot, and my wife's pregnant, about to have a baby, and he had a hardship case that wouldn't quit. Well, of course, that's right down there on Main Street, and trailers has been the issue in the council, and they are seriously trying to crack down on it. Well, this was a little bit ticklish, so they said, look, we'll have to think this over. We want 2 weeks. We hate to put you out like this, but you already had the damn trailer there anyhow. So this was the 2 weeks, Monday. Well, right after they granted Bone Break's 1 year, they say, all right, we have Bill So-and-so's application up for consideration. And Mr. Black immediately says, well, I've reviewed it, and I move that we grant him an application, accept that application, grant him a permit. And I think Thelma seconded, and there wasn't any discussion on it. It was a roll call vote. Well, Thelma was yes. Black, of course, was yes, and Evelyn was yes, and Troy was no. See, he's still upholding his trailer thing there, but he figured that one vote wasn't going to hurt him. He didn't see Black as a leader. I mean, Bill, the new thrift man, he didn't see him representing any coalition of votes, and therefore he could make his statement against trailers, playing his political world. Immediately, I saw this fellow Bill turn around and talk to Red upon leaving. And say, he These people can get more serious about things than anybody I know of, this class of people. They get a deep look on their face and the way their voice comes out. He was talking about he's going to be at the fire meeting, you know, and I saw it in a flash what had happened. That in that 2 weeks' time, he'd gotten in with the fire group, which Black is a member of and Red's a member of, and he was a grand staunch supporter of the town within 2 weeks. And Black had granted Doug Bonebreaks 1 year temporary permit so that he was free to give this man a permit to put his trailer in, because that's what he said. He said, in view of the fact that we have granted Mr. Bonebreaks, I'd forgotten to mention that, and Mr. Bonebreaks a year's extension, I move that we accept this man's application and give him a permit. And he had moved to accept Bonebreaks' extension. Matter of fact, Bonebreaks didn't ask for extension. He had given him one. And then he turns around and makes this statement. Well, in view of the fact that we've given Mr. Bonebreaks a year, this guy can stay there until hell freezes over. So he didn't get a 1 year permit, standard permit. Now that's, I keep looking at these politics down here as identical to Washington. I don't see the least bit of difference in them. It's just cleaner to see.
Yeah, you can see it.
Because they're not smart enough to be too subversive. You just, it's all out front. They don't think it is. I'm sure Mr. Black to this day that is probably thinks, well, he really pulled a cool one. You know, he just did some high-handed politics.
But all the rest of them know what happened.
I don't know. They don't catch it too much.
They don't care.
Well, hell, nobody even chuckled when old Troy was coming on with his lingo up there, and he says, "I want everyone here to know that we have the heart of Micanopy at interest." And he goes right along. And it was another one, and he turned around. I don't know where he gets all of his quotes, but he can't say three sentences without pulling out a quote. And not famous quotes, but just like the interest of Micanopy at heart is a segment that he'll use. And if he uses it one time, it's sort of in his repertoire for the evening, and it'll come up six or eight more times. But he's sort of like a mystery writer, and when he talks, you know, I've always viewed mystery writers as kind of typewriter that types sentences. They just type them out like that. And hack them right out. That's the way he talks. I mean, he thinks in those phrases.
Now, this Doug is a good earth man.
Mm-hmm. Mother Earth.
Mother Earth. He, caught that truck over there. A lot of things, times I don't know who tells me, and I don't get much in the neighborhood firsthand, so you may have told me this. But Freddie came out there one morning and saw he was picking eggplants and had a bunch of, did you tell me that?
No, you mentioned it, but I didn't hear the whole story.
Out there in the field that they, like they do, they don't clean them up all in one day. And they had backed up there, this boy and his wife.
No, it's not his wife.
Well,
the business partner. Yeah.
The business partner.
Mm-hmm.
Loading them eggplants. And Freddie got after him with a riding whip and hollering at him to get out of there. And the girl started crying, you see. And whatever happened to it, I don't know. Whether they just drove off with what eggplant they already had loaded, or whether they unloaded them or not, but that's how they picked up eggplants, the Mother Earth. I didn't realize at the time that they had a chapter at Micanopy.
Oh, good Lord, it's been going on for a long time. And I told him after the meeting, I said, Doug, well, now I talked to Shirley, and to show you how their minds go, I don't know that I can relate it that directly. And I said, You people are awful lucky to get a year's extension. Said, I'm surprised that they didn't flat run you out of town and even hogtie you. What went on up there? If I'd have been on the council, guy, man, you'd have seen some sparks fly. And if Black had made that motion, I would have jumped up and turned the table over. I'd have been mad if I'd have been on the council.
You mean that, Mother Earth, things go on?
Yeah. Now, see, I wouldn't have put up with that kind of crap. But, see, being in between, I don't have any right to get mad. Because, if I got mad in between things, I'd have had them mad at me and the council mad and everybody else mad. I mean, it wouldn't have done me any good to jump up and yell. But if I'd have been on the council, I would be supposed to be on one end of the stick, and I'd have shown it. I explained that to Shirley. Well, she sort of agreed with me, but come to find out, she agreed backwards. They were still wrong, as far as she's concerned. And she says Micanopy's that she doesn't feel that they're her home at all. And that everybody is against her. Well, I'll be goddamned. Hell, they told me that, I was subject to fine and all kinds of crap for that Gwen house not being hooked up to city water. I only had the thing 4 months. And all of a sudden it's my bag, see, that thing's got to be hooked up. Well, I'm about as slow moving as anybody in the world. I didn't get mad at Bill. He calls up and says, Wade, you better give me a date on that, because we're going to do it. And I says, all right, I'll say, how about next Friday? He says, I hate to be a son of a bitch. Bill, that's fine. That's just the way things work, and I'm in complete agreement with it. If you don't be a son of a bitch with me, you probably wouldn't get hooked up for another year. That's the game. That's the way it goes. You've got to live with those things. Poor old man Thomas had water that was about 10 times as good as any Micanopy water. He had it inspected every 6 months at his own cost. Nobody told him to inspect it. They deal with health over there, he and his wife. I don't know, a lot of things going on. And he had to unhook that and hook up to city water, which was worse than his water.
Oh, he couldn't use it on.
Oh, no, it's illegal to use it. But, see, these are rules and regulations. That's because there's people around, and for these people, Doug and Shirley, to act like they're acting, I just don't care for that mentality. I mean, they're just not making room for anybody else to be there.
I don't quite get their mentality.
Well, I don't either, clearly, but for some reason, they feel that the whole town is against them because they've denied them that trailer permit, for the trailer to be there permanently. Well, you can look at it straight on and say, well, why don't they let them leave the trailer there? Maybe they are mean, but if you look at it hardly an 18-month case history, it's less than that, it's a year's case history. It started with George Wilson and went to Ms. Sheffield and then to them. Well, it started with Doug's application, first of all, because he was before the other two. See, they had already started shutting down on trailers. Already started bitching and moaning and complaining they're going to shut down on trailers. Well, Doug knew this. So, being Main Street and everything, he decided he'd just sneak around the back and get a temporary permit. And old Joe Thomas sort of liked the pay. Joe, he's crazy as hell, but he's got a good heart on one side of him. he likes to do things for people. He likes to raise hell on one side and then help out people over here. So he's feeling good. He's going to give him a break. So he just signs a permit just to move in. Yeah. Now Doug didn't say anything. He knew damn well that he stood a chance of getting turned down if he went to the council. Well, he wouldn't even got to put the damn thing there, see? So, his year comes up, and he considers that year has been 40 years, and he was there before any laws were made. And there, see, that was two illegalities against him. And then they come back with this thing, well, George Wilson moved his trailer. Well, he forgot the goddamn fight that the whole town went through about George Wilson, and the fact that George Wilson wound up lying about it and everything else. He forgot that. And he forgot the fact that Miss Sheffield went to the hospital with a heart attack. And also, Miss Sheffield had been here since 1900. And that's the only reason that she was finally allowed in, because she's a poor old lady who was fixing to die. And somebody had already told her to put the trailer there. And they finally made a concession to the old timer. And now Doug is miffed because Mick Canopy doesn't love him.
Well, is he an addition to the town?
Well, that's the first time he lived there. It was a year ago. And that was a temporary permit. The town is. In this case, the town, I don't think they would let an old-timer have done that.
Are they an addition to the town?
Oh, a positive addition? Well, they're creating business over there. See, their business world is, I wouldn't want to deal directly in it, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
They do some fairly good products, and they're evidently the mill's going pretty good.
Oh, no.
Doing more mill work.
Well, they do the mill work.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the bread.
Mm-hmm. And they're thinking they're going to try to open up the bakery. See, they've got all the bakery equipment there. But they hadn't been able to get anybody to bake for them. And it's right understandable with Doug and his attitude. I wouldn't work for him. They're not share the profit people. I've played poker with him.
Oh, really?
And I'm not a poker player, but I think it'd be an interesting game to get into if you could afford to lose some money once in a while just to see people. They're damn serious about poker playing, the two of them.
Oh, really?
They don't do it. I mean, I'm talking about pennies, too. You know, 50 cents a dollar or $2, something like that. It's who's winning, and, they shift things around a little bit too much for me. They'll take the advantage. Anytime it's open, they'll get the advantage. The advantage being, like, I don't really know the rules. And all of a sudden you're playing along, then you find out there's a new rule that's been thrown in. There's no way you can argue about it. You just know you've been took for a big pot of money. And they they're bums.
Mm-hmm.
They're bums, too. He'll walk into my house and eat my food. With never me saying, have something to eat. Or without him saying, you mind if I have this? They just goddamn pick it up and eat it.
Oh, really?
Now, Guy, I've known you a long time, but I wouldn't walk in here and go in your refrigerator and just plain out get something. And same time, you know that I wouldn't consistently do it, and you wouldn't raise hell with me if I walked in your refrigerator once or twice and got a bite. But I just don't do it. And especially if I was hungry, I'd go somewhere else. If I was full and everything else and just wanted to be sociable, I might do it. But I'd be embarrassed to do it if I was really hungry.
You think they're really hungry?
I don't know. If there's something there, they damn sure eat it. Especially if it's in view. They're like the man you're talking about, that crazy man that tried to put these cows on your property, that he had an eyeball out for this and that and the other. And Doug's got that mentality, especially for pieces of food lying around and things like that. He'll eat them up. I don't have first thing in common with him. Yeah, I think Shirley was one of the causes for me to quit smoking, too. because she'd consistently bum cigarettes. All it, and then what really got me, that she'd come over later at night, and she'd take the bumming cigarettes. And twice, I said, "Shirley, how come you don't go ahead and buy a pack?" She said, "Well, I don't smoke." I says, "Well, you goddamn sure smoking my cigarettes, and I'm getting low on cigarettes, and it's getting close to midnight, and everything's shut up in Micanopy, and I have the habit, see, and I'd want to smoke." Well, she doesn't have the habit, but she can gladly smoke my last cigarette at midnight and smile and leave. Oh, that made me mad. It was a great joy in the last 3 months that I've told them that they say, "You've got a cigarette?" "No, I don't."
Well, don't smoke.
Don't smoke. That's been more pleasure in not smoking.
You know, one way of looking at your habits, Wade, if you see the austere person, will not doesn't necessarily live a more interesting life than a man who drinks and smokes, but he'll last longer.
Mm-hmm.
The austere man, his austerity, you see, he's not kindling fires all the time. His lungs aren't irritated and raw, and at least that. And you know, one thing that keeps me going every now and then, I get sort of feeling sorry for myself. And I think to myself, I was out there, and if I turn up my toes on some little matter like this, look at these other birds. I can't do it on account of what they'll say, you know. That's one thing that keeps you going. It sure does. And it also keeps you, you see, you've got to keep healthy. You gotta run in place.
Yeah, you gotta outrun them for sure.
Jog and keep your circulation in good shape. And there's a lot of little things you got to do in order, you see, not to, just to keep in the running. I didn't know this. I had to learn it. People don't have much use for you unless you're healthy, got enough money to pay your way. And there's one other point I forget now that it goes along with it. You're obligated. You got to do that. That's your meal ticket. You got to be healthy, and you got to have money to pay your way. You don't have to. Well, anyhow, that's. If you've got a headache or something like that, nobody wants to see you. You simply got it. It's a curious world. It's a curious world.
That's a great, that vigor.
That vigor.
Especially a subtle vigor.
Yeah.
See, I've read about it in books, when you read about men of power and business people. They're always there and they're carrying on when everybody else is dropping off. And I've experienced it a couple of times, not in a big way, just like moving Friday with Harry.
Yeah.
See, hell, I'm 10 years older than Harry, and he theoretically works out in the fields with the peanuts, and I theoretically don't do a damn thing, according to people's viewpoints, see? But old Harry's busting out all over with sweat, and breathing like he's his last breath,
all right.
And I keep going up and down the stairs. And I keep up with him.
How you count for that?
Well, I actually do some physical exercise quite a bit, and it just doesn't appear like it.
Why do you do?
When I'm especially picture taking out in the road, good God Almighty, I've had people go with me, and they flat quit. They can't take it.
Why do you?
Just walking, running around, carrying goods, and carrying all my camera equipment, packing and unpacking. And it, if I did it 3 days a week, I'd be healthy.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. I just do it enough to keep toned up. I do enough to know how much work it is when you do it. It can. I did one job about 3 months ago. The next day, I had to shoot again, and I did a pretty poor job the next day because I couldn't walk. The building was 485 feet long. And I carried camera equipment and walked I don't know how many miles that day. And next morning, I thought I wasn't going to unbend and get out of bed. Whew. That little bit helps out, and I do a few other exercise things. But it's right interesting. That was just a subtle thing, too, like between me and Harry.
Yeah.
And that idea of the vigor. And people, you know, when they say, well, come on, let's do this. And you say, well, okay, we'll do it. Before long, they say, hey, we ought to quit. And you say, well, why don't we go ahead and get it done? You know, you just keep on going. And they're puzzled. They're a little puzzled about that kind of thing. I've never used it as a power trip, but every time I've come close to it, I can see how you can start handling people that way, just out-vigoring them. See, they have to best pecking order type thing.
Yeah, and that's one thing that doesn't cost a thing. Actually, it's cheaper to stay healthy than it is.
Oh, yeah, sure is.
I've had to do it, you see. I've done it all my life. I mean, I've always been pretty sturdy physically. And, well, you see, I took care of these cows here for 12 years without any help. Plowed, human, they got so they ordered their arms much, I had to. You know, they do that way. These damn horses will do it too if you don't watch out. They'll come up and paw on the gate. You go out there and you can't knock them down.
No, and I've got that one cat, and he's all right. He's not too bad, but boy, dictatorial.
You got puppies over there.
Yeah, they're not mine.
Who's
that's
not?
Next door. That belongs to the people old gallery building.
Well, let me tell you what I do. Some night when there's nothing going on, I just feed them and put them in a sack and take them out somewhere. They just going to add to the population.
They're terrible. They're getting rid of them one by one.
Well, if they don't, I'll help you do it. it's not right to the animals, you see. Mm. They'll just be turned out on the street, and they'll be beggars. They'll be.
Yeah, Mimi was talking about keeping one. I think I finally reasoned her out of it because people that live in those circumstances, dogs don't belong there. She's got an apartment. There's no yard for that dog. It's right on the street corner. And she's not going to spend the time to keep that dog up.
No.
That's not in her makeup at all.
No.
And dogs require too damn much time under those circumstances.
Oh, I'm telling you, they require time under any circumstances.
Yeah, even out here they're required.
Yeah.
What kills me is to see these crazy people in town standing around with one of these big Afghan hounds or whatever on the chain, waiting for that dog to take a crap.
Yeah, on somebody else's problem.
And I cannot understand that for the life of me.
I can't either.
How a person could just stand there and wait for a dog to take a crap.
Yeah, it's universal.
They do it, in New York.
Yeah, that's the center of it.
Yes.
My impression.
I wouldn't have patience for that for the world.
This on this program, this morning program last week, the boy reported on book clubs, and I was going to turn it off and going out, but as it happened, we were sitting and talking about something, and I turned it on, and it was first rate. And the book club, Book of the Month club, this Truman book is the leader.
Isn't that amazing?
Did you hear that?
Yes.
And before that, the other, Margaret's book was a leader.
Oh, March 11th, they got a show on Harry Truman on TV at 8 o'clock or something like that. It's in the Sunday paper.
Yeah.
This is when he was 41 years old. And they said the show now was precipitated by these two books. They tried to figure out how come Truman got to be in Florida now, but they've gone so far as they say that the man that Sussinger, Sussenkind or somebody like that, did the tapes with Merle Miller,
yeah.
Put $500,000 into
yeah.
it, and sold it for $50,000 because they never couldn't get anywhere with it. And now, by God, here it's time. I always said get those tapes and that stuff back up. This is just a movie thing they did
yeah.
with an actor.
Yeah. Oh, that's
maybe they'll come back, resurrect those tapes.
I tell you what, I heard a couple on the thing there, and they're not very good. The ones they had on the program that Miller was on.
Not good.
Oh, it sounds like that. It sounds as if he's hoarse. But that's just little clips, as they call them. You wouldn't want to hear him talking like that.
Maybe that was it. He might have been.
No, it couldn't possibly be. They'd have to be. Staff of
well, they'd
spend
$500,000. Now they do that with such ease and bomb, and here you look at it and say, look, I'd like $50,000 to do something even more sustained than what they did.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere you can find that money. Well, it's where you can find it, but God, you have to spend $100,000 to find it. Oh, that was the Today Show? I was almost inspired to write CBS or whoever it is. They got me unnerved the two times I saw them, just pieces of it. Let me see if I can recollect. It was one was Barbara and Frank were interviewing these two people about psychic phenomena. Or
I never listened to those.
Well, the only reason I'd recommend that you listen to that was a negative feeling, and it got you upset. That was the worst goddamn interview session. I don't care whether those people were talking about paring toenails. That wasn't important. Barbara and Frank massacred them. It was a woman and a man. First of all, they ignored the woman like she was a wart on a log or something like that. Bump on a log. Let her introduce herself, and that was about it, and cut her off. I mean, she wasn't any powerhouse or anything like that. But even when she'd try to say something, they'd interrupt it. They'd try to address themselves to the man. They'd ask him a question. He'd get one-third through an answer, and they'd argue on the spot, and not only argue, but change the subject. The two of them. God almighty.
Well, you find Dillard's rather.
It was terrible.
They'll cut in. Somebody be talking, and Barbara will dart in with a question. You know, Wade, I had never realized that, but a question is about as fierce an instrument as you can have. I went up to this fella in the office there, and I was just passing the time of day with him. With, and he said, now, would you tell me precisely what it is you have in mind? Well, you see, I was a little bit overraising grade, and I didn't have to respond to that. I said, you know, I'm not very good at just telling precisely what I have in mind or anybody else. But if you've got time to go into it just a little bit, I'll try to give you an idea. I wouldn't let him do me that way. But he got nervous, and then he'd cut in on me. So that's what they do. At the same time, you see, they are seemingly listening to you, but they're not listening. Oh, they can be fierce. They can be fierce. But I don't think they intend to be fierce, but they are. But those questions. Well, scotch the whole show. It'll stop anything just point blank. It'll stop it. And most of the time, I have a feeling that they don't realize what they're doing. they don't do it deliberately. I don't think they do it deliberately.
It's all covering up for lack of any ability they got. Most of them.
A lot of it is. Yeah.
I mean, they don't have their job because they're worth the job.
Old Jack Perkins, you listen to him. He's one of the richest. I'm telling you, he's something.
Jack Perkins.
He's on the he's out in the West Coast, you see, and they put him on special. He reports on special things, and I'm not sure which network they're on. I think he's on NBC.
He's not with the Today Crew.
No.
Because that was another, they had a West Coast man on that Today Show doing something out there. I've forgotten what it was. Some political thing or something. Terrible. Horrible.
Let me tell you, wait, if you're going to listen to the television, you ought to listen right. Now, on that morning thing, you've got to have both programs. That first hour, 7 to 8, you see, you've got both networks. And half the time, the CBS will be interested and the NBC one won't. Well, you can't turn from one to the other. It's just that you just can't give it that much attention. But you can have both channels there and see which, and you can very often see which one you want to do. And all the networks have such dominance. You don't want to get stuck behind them. Now, that's one thing you can do. And I don't know, you can get ABC stations too.
Mm-hmm.
ABC. So you've got room for three. I don't know whether they're on the same time. But if you're going to listen, you ought to listen right. And furthermore, you ought to get that machine that it. See, I had it ready. I took it all back down there. I figured you.
Well, I write. I don't want to even pretend to do anything. I'm getting ordered now. It's looking better, but in the last few weeks, I've been too hassled.
And I put it down where I can reach it. I don't know where you put it. You better organize than I am. And get, but I sure would get at least the two networks. And then the same thing with the evening news. If you ever listen to that, you ought to be able to turn on whichever side you want. Now, one of them, say on Saturday, we'll have Haywood L. Broome. Well, Haywood L. Broome is nice, but I never listen to him. I can see what's on the other side. You know, you've got to draw the line at certain things. I don't listen to sports or plays, drama, or music. Music on television and radio about as bad as you can find it. If I'm going to listen to music, I'd have a recording. That's my feeling, you see. And I came up before the disc jockey days, so I don't need just the noise.
Strangely,
you know, that disc jockey thing, down here at Cookie, we used to have picnics out there all the time, and it got to be, as the children grew up a little bit, it got to be the parents had a hard time getting them to turn the little radio off when I came down there. But I wouldn't stay, you see, or hang around as long as they had that noise. Well, I remember one time, the boy, he was out of trouble anyhow. He went off by himself inside and turned on his radio and ate at his picnic. He wasn't going to be cow-cow to anybody. So, just for the hell of it, I went in there with him. And we talked, and he kept that radio. But that's, you see, even out there,
that's something.
You got you gotta talk about that thing.
Radio culture.
Well, you got now your interest in property over there is forcing you back into the county council.
Yes, and I've been a little bit ashamed that I. See, that's another thing. You just don't sort of hit and miss. You either should go there and be a part of it. Because you miss continuity. You may be interjecting something that's already taken care of or considered or something like that. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Just come drop in out of nowhere and make a statement that shows that you don't know anything. So you need to stick around. And there's been a couple of strong things that have happened, but since there's hardly a meeting goes by that I don't, just by making a statement, don't touch the directions of things. See, this wouldn't be so for a person like me in the Gainesville politics. It's all relative.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a big political figure, or I don't spend that much time with it, or have a bunch of clout. And you have to rattle much harder in the big politics than you do down here. It's just that nobody down here has a comment on anything. Nobody considers anything. So my considerations are generally felt. Sometimes they're actually appreciated. Every once in a while. I did finally make a statement that was felt if no action was made on it up at the planning council. That was hard to make. I had to say it 3 or 4 different ways before it got through. This was about the energy crisis about almost a year ago before it ever got to be an energy crisis. And I felt they ought to take this into consideration in their approval of building roads. See, they're up there approving building roads right and left. And I felt that was wrong step. That's a lot of money they're putting in. Every time they build a road, they encourage people to drive on the damn thing. And it's just backward action. You shouldn't build a road now.
That's where the money is.
Yeah, that's the reason we're out of energy, because of profit making. It's too easy.
Too easy.
Hell yes. You know, there's not too much profit in building a generator run by water. That's not profitable at all. You don't get to get trucks to haul fuel oil, and then that whole chain of events goes on back of that. Look at these damn people over in Jacksonville now. They get to up the electrical rate every month because the oil costs more. Well, if it's run by water power, they wouldn't get that chance. No profit in it. They've already predicted that a Florida Power here, if you're paying $40 a month average electrical bill, this would be up $150 for a short while. Now, you own Florida Power. What you been paying, 20? Something like that.
Whoa, Faye.
Down in there.
Was this new heater more efficient than the other one?
Same old heater.
Yeah.
I knew about it.
Somehow, no, I know that everything's missing from the corner. Maybe that's what's
good. That's it.
You know, old Harry and Sissy, see, they started that whole house at the beginning of the energy crisis.
Yeah.
It takes people a long damn time to wake up.
Yeah.
Do you know what that house is run on? Heat and everything else? It's total electricity, guys. And the damn thing is built like an apartment in town.
I'm just
going to
put some of those,
I don't, I just want one slice of cheese, because I just ate a big breakfast.
You did?
Matter of fact, I'm invited over to a sandwich luncheon here in Charlotte. But I'll go for the piece of that cheese. You know, Harry and Sissy built that house. Like, it's got one little bitty window in each bedroom. This window's hardly this size of half this one, like that.
But the energy crisis.
And it's heated by electricity. And God, you almost got to air condition it because you can't get any wind blowing around in the bloody thing.
Out there where there's plenty of wind.
Woo! They don't have a porch. They've got one of the grandest views in the world.
Okay.
And nobody to take advantage of it.
That's just wow. I got some beans.
We spent $38,000 on it altogether.
I got some beans with some sausage on it.
Oh, no, thank you. I want some cheese.
How long will it take them to pay for it?
I don't know whether they're on 20 or 30 years, but they're paying $300 and something a month.
How much?
$300 and something.
Well,
it
didn't quite get
right. No. I think I'd have gone out there and built a porch first. Like Van Arnold built that pool.
Yeah.
You know, that's what his attitude was. I think I'd built a porch.
That's a little bit too much fire. Yeah, that's not much.
I didn't think so. Well, I'm surprised at them.
Well, I think maybe if they hadn't both been on government pay list, they'd have had second thoughts.
Yeah, both of them work for the government.
They feel pretty secure in the fact they can keep their jobs.
You got any bread, guys?
Of course, they want to have some. They want to get into the family situation. That's going to be horribly expensive.
And Wade, what kind of bread was that you got that was so good? I bought some at that Mother Earth place, and it wasn't anything like yours. I guess it's a lot of different kinds.
Maybe it is. I don't really buy enough of it.
Well, I bought what I thought was, you know, there's a whole bunch of different kinds.
Was it at the Mother Earth store?
I went to this, you know, that place on Fifth. That's a marvelous place. Our Daily Bread.
Oh, well, that's entirely different. Mother Earth, she grinds their own meal.
Oh.
And makes their own bread.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So it's Mother Earth bread. Now, our daily
yeah.
bread is entirely
yeah.
different.
Oh.
Best of my knowledge, Mother Earth is the only one that has meal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and that fresh meal.
Is what does it.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Now, I've been into a long discussion about the guy, about people that run it. But they do make good bread.
Yeah. No, after all.
I don't have a thing in common with them, but they do make good bread.
Well, that was certainly good that we had at your place. You have any sugar cream? What are you having your coffee with?
Oh.
I got anything you want.
sugar and cream.
Yeah, there's a difference in the Mother Earth bread. The kind Faith found wasn't...
Well, she just plain... She didn't get Mother Earth bread. She got Our Daily Bread.
See, I just went to the wrong place, guys.
Oh.
Mother Earth grinds her own meal. They're the only ones that do it.
Oh, really? They're the only ones?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was going to...
Now, they're up there across from the Neighborhood Service Center.
Our Daily Bread.
No, Mother Earth.
Mother Earth.
On 13th Street.
Oh, okay. Well, I can get it from there.
You remember Dave's place out there?
Yeah. I got some that's not quite out of the refrigerator over there, so you need to understand a little longer. Okay. That's good cheese.
Never run into old Brother Spear.
Nope. Every now and then on the street out there. But he hadn't been hanging out. At least not when I've been there recently. Weather's not conducive, I suppose.
Well, he works. He got a full-time job here. He services cars. That's a lubrication. American Motors down there.
Hmm.
Down Main. What do you call it?
Ridgeway. Well, Beverly ought to know that then. I'll tell her. I think she made a mistake not buying his car. And he might probably wasn't ready to sell or something. But Beverly was serious about a new car. That was just one of those things.
She put up his old car as long as you wanted.
She'd considered a new car sometime before, didn't put it off. It just got to be a thing. She was damn serious about a new car. And that new car-itis, it's just one of those things. And she had the wherewithal to get one, and so she had to do it. That was funny. I knew it just as soon as I saw that station wagon park and she was bumming a ride to town. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "Well, it needs a clutch." Said, "How do you know?" She said, "Well, I pushed in the clutch and it made a noise." Well, hell, Buster took a screwdriver and popped a bearing and it's running like a charm now. She never did get in it again. Spiffy car she's got, though. It's a real neat-looking machine.
Is it American Motors?
American Motors. It's a small four-door. Yeah, they showed, American Motors showed the profit for the first time, and I've forgotten 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
Ain't it a strange world a company can exist and not show a profit in 10 years?
Yeah.
Now, that's something. Dividend, that is. Stockholder dividend. There's an interesting little thing in the paper about it's coming right straight out to the fore that this energy crisis is really doing away with old mom and dad things. For sure. They're complaining about the service stations closing down and said, "Well, what's happening is these little, small, inefficient, independent things are shutting down and we're building the big ones." So you're going to have supermarket filling stations, and that's the way that's turning out.
Oh.
See, the same thing went with Weaver's store. So you can never rebuild Weaver's store. Nobody'd ever run that. The Burgesses find it somewhat profitable to run their store. But they just took over Thrasher's business, his already established business, and they're still running charge accounts. And they're charging like 80 or 90 cents for a quart of milk, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't. He doesn't make any bones about it. He's not there for economy. He's there for service. And he'll tell you that.
He wants to make some money.
Well, if you want the economy, go somewhere else. He's just there mainly to charge, and if you're out and can't make it somewhere else, I don't see. He couldn't make it on a low profit level. He couldn't keep the store open. He's got to consider that.
Is that commissary still open at this mill?
I don't know about that. Talking about the mill has refused to. You remember me talking about me hooking up the water last week to my new house? Facing subject to fine and all that if you don't do it. Franklin's Crepe Mill has refused to hook up to the water. We've got another nice fight going on.
Well, the way that'll turn out is they'll leave him alone.
Who'll leave him alone? Town?
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. That's going to court. They're slapping a fine on the table in court. Well, first of all, they've sent him one letter saying they got to hook up within a reasonable time. I don't know whether Bill stayed at the time or not. And I said, hell, Bill, I would have slapped a fine on him right now. I mean, you threatening me.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, and by the next meeting, I'm going to ask if they're hooked up, and I'll start citizens' action because I was threatened.
Oh,
just that kind of business. That's fun. They won't get away with it. No more.
Oh, won't they?
No.
They won't just walk off and leave Franklin's Mill.
Heavens no. Matter of fact, the taxes are going to get raised and everything down there. The world's come to an end in Micanopy. You ought to see the offices down there Bill's got. His empire. He's got a dressograph machine, Xerox machine, electric typewriters, office for the secretary. He's got an office as big as this room, bigger than this room. And one part of it's as big as this room. You got an alcove off of it. And I was sitting there and said, God damn, Bill. He knew the exact date, 18 months or something like that. They were meeting in that little red schoolhouse, and that was it. And that was the town council. I said, how did they do it? He said, I don't know. I've got more than I can do right now. Nope. Micanopy had increased in size to speak of. I bet there hadn't been 100 additional people down there.
The world has come to an end in Micanopy.
Yep. Of course, Franklin could care less. If he doesn't want to pay taxes, it's just traditional and it's in his head. If he doesn't want to hook up the water, that's just traditional. That's part of the old spirit. It's not that he can't afford to. He's got his. He doesn't need to make it anymore, but the habit's got him. He can't quit. You know, he's the fourth largest landowner in Washoe County.
I already know that.
Old man Franklin.
The fourth largest landowner.
Mm-hmm. And he says, hell no, I'm not selling. I want to go see him.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be. one thing he is not interested in is bullfrogs.
Doesn't like them, huh?
He gets in that airboat and goes on all these prairies, swamps, catches frogs. Well, what happened to it is not enough frogs, you see, for the wildlife. There's nothing for the wildlife to eat. You take those big old, big blue herons and Americans and all, they're out there looking for eat, something to eat, but they can't find it because
what they need is an airboat.
The old airboat man's already been along there and got ahead of him. Well, you can't tell him that. And you see, you don't have, there's no frog chorus out on the swamps anymore. There's no frogs to chorus.
That's right.
They're all gone. Your airboats have got them. You know, nothing can
escape. God almighty, I didn't know that.
Nothing can escape an airboat. You see,
that's a vicious machine. I've been on them.
They come up right out there in the sanctuary, right in the sanctuary. They shine a light that blinds everything that's out there, and they can just pick them up. Anything from moccasins to ducks, then they can frogs.
And if they don't get the wildlife, they get the vegetation. They ruin the vegetation that the wildlife feeds on.
They go out there to their little pools and catch all the perch and the trout. You can't get out there with a little boat. It's too much trouble. But the airboat can take you. And they do that on the Gulf.
Oh, yeah, I've been on the Gulf. They're amazing machines. You can go along and you see all this sawgrass and stuff like that that a boat would labor hours going around. You just get on the airboat and you're there.
Turtles can't raise or nothing. Nothing, you see. The airboat's got them all. And Franklin is a big airboat man. And I don't imagine he'll ever change. I don't know him. I've only seen him one time.
You wrote him a letter once.
Yeah, I've always maintained that he bought that house over there on the golf course by the taxes he didn't pay to Micanopy, maybe twice or three times over. I don't know what his mill's assessed at. Can't be much, because his house, still, unless they changed it this year, is assessed at $4,500. That's Edwin's place. Mine's assessed at $7,000. He's got either 11 or 17 acres, and you go offer Walt $100,000 for his house and see what he does. He'd probably tell you to leave town. He's got a house. $4,000 assessment. Good God Almighty. No, this is old Edwin's place there in Micanopy.
Oh.
See, he bought the assessment along with the house. And poor old Walt sitting up there on the council swallowing hard and asking for more taxes, and he's really going to have to pay them. He just can't get up there and say no more taxes. We've got enough assessment here in Micanopy. And so he's got to get on the other side. He's got to reassess. And he's going to be the hardest hit of just about anybody.
It's going to cost
it. Oh, it's going to cost him dearly. But if anybody makes a rational assessment on the damn thing, he's going to have to be taxed at $50,000. They won't make that rational assessment.
I see. Wade gets into things and he gets hold out where it'll count. And that's where it ought to be. I see. Since I've been in this talking business, uh, Now, Spear was over here Saturday morning. He came by. His wife was in the beauty shop. And he's killing a little time. And he brought a handful of onions out of his garden. Well, he got into the depression and into gardening. And he didn't talk very long. He don't have his irrigating the garden. He, I said, that I was out there and saw your system looked pretty good. What do you call those?
Bird.
What do you call those? Things, the heads that go around and water your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said, now that you can't use that. He says, all that does is knock your stuff down in a circle. He says, I just use a plain old watering thing over Weatherbird. And he says, you'll notice one thing. You put that down on the ground, and then you somewhere else, you put it up as high as you can reach, top of a stepladder or something. And you just notice the growth. So when you put it up, it's like rain. It catches something out of the air and makes the stuff grow.
Well, I don't know. He could be right, guy. I'm not arguing with anything anymore.
You don't care whether it's right or wrong.
Mm-mm.
What you're doing, you're watching him maneuver all those things.
He's done that himself.
He did that himself. I said to him, now how did you, I asked him that. I said, how did you get onto that? You didn't do that all at one time. You just picked that up a little at a time. So he says, I did it all. That's the only thing, that little feather bird doesn't put out enough water, but he says it's going to be easy to remember that. I'll just get my drill and bore them holes a little bigger. The water will come out. Everything's so simple and so right in their hands. Now they goofed. He couldn't get up and work that morning. He couldn't hardly get out of bed. He said when he left here that next Saturday, he went over there. Well, it was Sunday morning, he got out there and was pushing some brush up against the log to burn, and he wrenched his back. But he didn't give it as a case of goofing.
Oh. Back. I sure hope I don't do that too many times. I know people are apt to once in a while.
That depression, I said, how long would you, if you had your way, would you stay down here in this part of the country? You go back up into Alabama. He said, I'd go back up. But he came down here. He a little late. Mr. Weaver came in 1920, somewhere along in the early 20s. He came down in the early 30s, the Depression. Things were so tight up there, you see. He couldn't get a job and couldn't buy anything. And he said he had stole. He had to steal. He said he'd do it again if he had to. But he said it was kind of an honest stealing. And he went to Mr. Pomerantz's store up there. He had a big store, a lot of clerks, and he'd go to one clerk and he'd buy him a gallon of fuel oil. And he'd go and set it down by the wall. Directly, he'd go by another clerk and buy him a 5 pound of sugar. And he'd take that over by the wall and buy him several things like that, you see. And pretty soon, you know, the clerks didn't know who he was buying from, and he just loaded them up and took them on home, didn't pay for them. But he said when he got home, He said it all down the book. And when he got a job, after he moved down here, he went somewhere and added it up. I don't think he had. Or subtract. Or read the headlines. I think they used to call it illiterate. I don't know what they call it now.
Underprivileged, I reckon.
But he was saying, he had mine was. He said he got it added tight. They tied it up for him, and it was $70 and some cents. And he says when he went back up to Alabama, well, you know, he made a story out of it. He went over there. No, he went in there and had them added up. Gave it to the secretary, the clerk, bookkeeper, and had her added up. And he went around and handed the money to Mr. Pomerantz. And he said, Mr. Pomerantz looked at him and came over and put his arm around him. And he says, you are the only man in the state of Alabama who do a thing like this.
And that was worth $70 to him, wasn't it?
So you see what my what my payload is.
Yeah, that's strange. That stuff doesn't transpire too much anymore. Even somebody, even if he made up a story, he wouldn't make up a story like that.
Yeah.
About honesty.
Well, but now here's the thing. Those little bitty patches that I get from him won't do me any good. I can't use them. They have to be sustained. And he's got that mentality where I tried to say to him that I was interested in that garden. I wanted to pick up a few parts from him before I could say it. You know, he says, you don't, you can't pick up for me. He says, something might work for me, it might not work for you.
Did you know that, huh?
Yeah. So you see, I can't get a...
That was good. Caught you at your own game there.
Now, Mr. Weaver never blocks me. He may talk to me today, but he won't block me. So it's a different mentality there. I don't know what it is.
Well, now, what a nice anti-scientific attitude that is, Mr. Spears. See, the scientific world goes completely the other way, that they're going to figure out precisely how everything does work. Just like that man says, would you tell me precisely what you have in mind?
Yeah.
You tell him, well, there's no way you're going to know precisely what I have in mind. And see, Spears just got that, naturally. He'd never ask anybody precisely what.
Oh, no. He's full of himself. That's one thing about it. He's still having been cowed. And if that racetrack goes in out there, it'll be no skin on his back. I don't think there's any possible way of cowing him at this time. See, everything happens to him. All he's got is that little old place there. That's all he's got. He got no place in Micanopy to talk. He used to hang out there. See?
Yeah.
Then Mr. Weaver's, that was the last toll. Well, what does he do? He just goes, he retires and then goes up to Gainesville and gets a full-time job working in American Motors, the biggest scoundrel in the automobile business in Gainesville. And he represents himself as the only honest fellow there.
He's on like a gold cross. It had to ward off the rest of the witches. Well, I have to tell Beverly about that touchstone that she can get a... Oh, Beverly did a beauty. She does some fine things once in a while. She got in that car, and she complained bitterly about Mr. Nader's alterations to the American automobile. And I have, too. You know, the new cars, the 74 cars, well, by God, they won't even start a car unless you got your seatbelt buckled.
I know, I know.
Oh, really?
And you can't start it. Not only does it buzz and the light turn on,
but you can't start it.
Can't start it. And so she was complaining about that. And furthermore, if you got your briefcase and put it over on this seat, you either move the briefcase or buckle the seatbelt. It'll bore roar away at you. Don't put anything on me. I'm going to roar. And I think it was of a morning I was standing out there. She'd had the car about 6 or 8 days, and she'd been complaining. She had the door open. And she turned the key on, or put the key in. So she buckled her seatbelt, and she's looking all around, and this thing, what on earth? And she said, oh, she was frantic. I said, well, you got your door open. She said, oh, slammed the door, and sure enough, it quit. Well, she came home that afternoon. I saw her. She said, look at here, man. She had all that nonsense disconnected.
Oh, really?
She said, you take this stuff out of here, you take the car back. I'm not going to be dictated to by a car.
I didn't know you could.
It's illegal for the company to do it, but they did it. Yeah, she got ratty about it. Good Lord. Yeah, that I when I went to Pensacola about 6 months ago, I rented it was an American Motors car. Had it 24 hours, and I thought to myself that was the noisiest damn car I'd ever driven. And I got all the way back to the rental place and found out that I was supposed to buckle my seatbelt. Some people just don't keep abreast of things, that's all. That buzzer went the whole time I had the car.
One thing you can't do, you can't determine the weather. You can go to Pensacola as many times as you want to, and if it turns all cloudy while you're over there, you just got to make another trip.
Yeah. I've got to go back there again. You see what this weather does all the time.
You still haven't finished up?
Nah, that one more job, and I didn't do the Pensacola thing right yet. I've got everything else done. Lord, I'll be glad when I get done with that. Whew.
Some
hey, we're breaking in all these people. David, you know, David is the man, Evan. He's a... I wish I could remember that language he used that I jumped him on that morning. He talked about somebody. I said, this language you're using there, I don't hardly have any idea what you're talking to. I said, you talk to this fellow down here, the man with the truck goes out hunting all the time.
Jack.
Why don't you go around with them? Why don't you listen to the way they talk? And I can't reinstruct it, but it jumped. It got him there for a minute. He listened. He didn't mind. But he's using all this spit and polish on his language.
Give him a half chance and he wear a tie too.
Yeah. He won't be like that.
Yeah.
See, what is it? He's revolting against his parents, and he just like them.
Just exactly like them. He's funny about that guy. See, with that house down there, why, he won't listen to me about anything down there. Not the thing in the world.
He's renting that house, Faye.
One of the houses I bought from my brother. And he just won't listen. But he's rented this old shack, the house, and he fully expects it to be up equal to his parents' house within a month's time. he wants a heated bathroom in particular. This really floored him. He would go in there and sit on the pot with his, drink his coffee with his pants on to warm the pot up. Now, if you'd, see, he can tell some pretty good tales about, see, he moved to Micanopy when he was about 10, I think, something like that, 9 years old. And when he got here, see, he was hard pushed to become a redneck. See, he'd be a member of the group. And they really got on him. And then he went and busted his neck as hard as he could to get to be a redneck. Doing everything. He always caught the tail end. They'd lay it on him, see, all the jokes and everything. And he tried so hard to be a redneck and be a part of the group and out in the fields and hunting and doing all the rowdy things. And then he winds up sitting on a pot to warm it up. And he's got the, I mean, it just, it's absolutely no problem to him. You know, if he wants $40 worth of paint, he wants his screens in, he wants central heat, and it ought to be done right now. And I say, David, you know, you ought to slow up a little bit. We just don't have the money. And it just goes right through his head. Uh-huh. Completely right through it.
Now, he was Wade had him up there, and he already, has a system to take care of the dark room.
Yeah.
So that dark room is the thing that slows them all up, you see.
Yeah.
When you do the business side and then you take the pictures and do all the driving and all like that, you got to have a little relief somewhere. Well,
yeah,
the dark room is the obvious place to have a little relief. And so many people need the experience anyhow in the dark room.
Sure.
That's where they. That's in photography. That's the critical part, I suppose. unless you do a little developing yourself, you don't know quite what you're doing.
Yeah, if you're going to take pictures, you ought to be there for a while, for sure.
Yeah. Well, so you see, he got that on. In addition, well, David took it over, and he was going to run the doctor. He run it for about 10 days.
Well, no, it was the slow procedure. He got right to the point where I could say, David, here's the negatives, and I could leave him with him, and he was long in time in doing. He was slow. But hell, it'd be good. He could print.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are not too many people in this area that can print, including all the graduate students in school. They don't know how to print. But I taught him how to print,
mm-hmm,
and he could do it. He no more than got it down pretty good. About like 85% able to do it, and he goes hanging drywall because he can make money doing that. He couldn't make any money with me. That's true, he couldn't. But if he'd put in a little extra effort, he could he'd buy the business from me for $2. Oh, 150 a week, something like that, maybe 200 sometimes.
And where's steady?
5 days a week, mostly.
But it's steady on
that's another story. Because if they don't have any sheetrock, they can't do it. A lot of times they get jammed up in 5,000 apartments or sheetrock, and so the people are out. They don't regulate it properly. They have been out quite a bit recently.
And he doesn't go to school.
Mm-mm, he quit that altogether.
Well, I didn't realize that.
he signed up the first part of the last quarter and decided the sham wasn't worth the effort. he gave up the front and everything. He could. It was just too much trouble to keep up the front as a college boy, so he just quit.
You know, Wade's almost like John Palmer. We were down there one Saturday night, and we got on there just about closing time. At Saturday night, they closed around 8, and it turned out to be a show, just a show. So what's them clothes up in that burn shop? Well, anyhow, I went in there, and I always go in the country manner, sort of gabbing, you see, chattering from the front door, clear on back, and when I get back there, you see there, everybody's free. Mr. Palmer, he'll get free, and he'll pick it up. And I said to him, Mr. Palmer, whatever happened to your boy? He used to help me count fence posts and things like that when I miscounted them, and did it down here. You see, this boy, his mother died, and this man had raised the children himself. He backed and raised the children. This boy, this is his boy, Mr. Palmer was working, and the man had him around it, right smart himself. He couldn't work. He'd had a heart attack too. And this boy named Donnie had disappeared. I hadn't seen him. Why, he said I had to fire him. And then what do you know? He lit in and telling me what all he'd done. He said he set him out there to do some work, and he wouldn't do the work, and he'd come back in and he'd be grumbling, and he says, a place like this, they want you to work for nothing. This woman was in there, and she hired him. Mr. Palm fired him. And she was new. She bought a little horse property. They want you going out there with your business. And he kept held the job a week until he got to know more about the problem. She did, you know, and she had to let him go. And he told me one thing after another that Donnie had done. I said, Mr. Palmer, how in the world do you know all that about Donnie? Why, he said he was in here a while ago and told me.
That's what I was waiting for. That's the wonderful thing. I think that's just marvelous. Good friend.
He'd come back in pretty soon and want his job back.
Yeah. Probably getting cinched if you didn't hire him back.
Oh, that was rich. And I wanted to take my mind isn't as free as it ought to be, and I can't set him down the way he tells it. I always have a temptation to take law. It's just a sort of a little jewel of a thing.
Well, you can hardly blame the, like that Frank Weaver, $400 paycheck 1 week. That's $1,600 a month. And see, I've talked to Frank about technical matters enough to know that he's way long yonder from the top. He's plod, his mind plods slow, like a mule. He's always working at his limitation. $400 a week. And I don't think it was too much overtime involved in it. I think they get $8 an hour, if not more now. So he wanted me to know how much he made, but he went at it from saying, "And goddamn, you know what the government took from me this week? $100. Look, I'll show you right here. It's on my stub." So he pulls the stub out, see, and just reads off all the figures. About the government taking $100 of his money. So you can't get anybody to hang around your house and help you out for $2 an hour. Furthermore, they get off the big companies, they steal enough to make a living on.
Be missed?
No, good Lord. Times are easy now, just easy. I don't see, I mean, it's the energy crisis is a problem to deal with. But that all aside, maybe that's the cause of it, things too easy. I don't see anybody working hard. Speak up.
Crisis or no crisis?
That's right. Those little two people across the street from me that run a furniture rental place. What's the name of that place? Well, it doesn't matter. But the girl is a manager, and she hired a husband to be the head warehouseman. Neither one of them put in hardly 25 hours a week. At that. And they got a company car, get telephone paid for, they use truck, they use all the equipment whenever they need it. And they make between the two of them like $1,200-$1,400 a month. And they go to work when they please and quit when they please. Absolutely amazing. Well, they got a thunderous job, and they're considering quitting it to go driving around the country, and they would if it wasn't for the energy crisis. Just damn quitting the job. And they got one that, I don't know, it's just, it's a marvelous job, people like that. She does the business end of it, and he does the physical end of it. And they don't go in before 10 hardly in the morning. In bunches of days, they're off. They take off on their own accord frequently, and then they won't take off 2 or 3 days. They call up the boss in Tampa and say, hey, we've got to have some time off. He said, oh, sure, go ahead. There's so much loose ends running around the world now. The high profit thing. Like Mimi was saying, she's getting pretty good at it.